This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio, and it's me, Deborah Wolf, the host of the show. So today I'm going to catch you up on a whole bunch of things that have been happening that have to do with animals, some directly and some more loosely. So the riddle of the day, which I'll solve for you at the end of the show, is how did I, Deb Wolf, share the stage with Bad Bunny during the Super Bowl? That's the question. Now, normally that wouldn't make the pet show, but the fact that his name is Bad Bunny means he's a pet and he's on the show. So there you go. Incidentally, I thought this was sort of interesting. Bad Bunny was, you know, going to be featured at the Super Bowl. Everyone was talking about it. And I noticed some advertising coming out in flyers all over town and posted on telephone poles and stuff. And it seems like Bad Bunny, which to me sounds like a naughty bunny, right? A naughty pet. It's cute. It's adorable. But for some reason, it got picked up by all the kink clubs in town and they were having Bad Bunny events. And you can imagine what that was like. Totally different. Totally different. So, okay, so that's our riddle for the day. And I thought there was something really interesting about the Olympics. So I'm going to just do a little teaser and I'll solve it after the commercial. Who do you think is very, very welcome, literally very welcome at the Olympics, but not allowed in the Olympic Village? Who do you think that is? Well, I'll tell you later. Okay. So in the news, a Doberman won the Westminster Dog Show after many years of no Dobermans winning, and a Canadian dog at that. So yay, Pretty Penny. And Pretty Penny, the Doberman, who was so keen and alert and intense during the show, is going to become a St. John Ambulance visitor dog in her retirement. So that's really nice to hear. But it made me remember Catherine O'Hara, the actress who was probably best known for Schitt's Creek and Home Alone. But for me and dog people, she's best known for Best in Show. And if you've never seen it, look it up. It is the funniest movie. Oh my God, it doesn't even, it's evergreen. You could watch it anytime, anywhere, any day with any group of people. Doesn't have to be, it's not adult. You can watch it with kids. And it's it's a really clever take on the dog show world. I wish they'd do one on cats, but now they can't with Catherine O'Hara. They'll have to have someone else. But one of her lines in the show, she plays this woman who is obsessed with her dog. And one of her lines in the show is, "God loves a terrier." You know, they're just, she's in it with Eugene Levy and a whole bunch of other people you'd recognize. And it's just an incredible movie. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. I've watched it a bunch. And it is so bang on for the people you meet who are, let's say, overly invested in their dogs and identify. Their whole identity is wrapped up in their dog. They're not a person, they're a dog's person. It's almost like they're the support animal for the dog. But but it's definitely worth watching, so check that out. And I'm sad to see that Catherine O'Hara passed recently, and our whole country's going to miss her. We knew her from SCTV, from her beginnings in comedy, and have grown to love her for a very long time. So let's go to break and come back, and I will tell you right away who is welcome at the Olympics but not allowed in the Village. Stay tuned to Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, "Let's go ahead and remove the eye." I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, "You know what? I'm going to order this product." They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, "I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye."
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, "This could be the ticket." About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. or visit carnivore.com. That's carnivora.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, you're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Well, at the Olympics, they decided that so many of the athletes, particularly the younger ones, were missing their pets, in particular, their dogs. So, some of the athletes have actually had relatives or friends come to the games and not stay close by, stay in places that allow for dogs so they can visit their own dogs. But what the Olympic organizers decided to do was to have some dogs, support dogs, on hand for any athlete who needs a dog cuddle. And these dogs are called the welcome dogs. They are very welcome. Yes, and they're all around the exits and entrances to the Olympic Village because they're not allowed in the village. But that's all right. They're not allowed in the village, but they are allowed on the outside. And the Olympians do get their cuddles. And that way, I guess they don't trigger any allergies. Although, yeah, well, let's just say they're welcome and they're participating and they're doing their good work. And I think that's a great thing. So well done to the Olympics for figuring that little thing out. Some of the colleges have figured that out too and have support dogs. And some of the police stations, they have support dogs for children who've been in terrible circumstances. And I think it's a really, really smart thing to do. Okay, so what else should I be telling you about today? Well, let's talk about the iguanas. I was talking about them recently and I was reading to you something from PETA, which I thought it was a good source, and sometimes it's a great source, but sometimes it's not. It was telling me to tell people to take these passed out iguanas that you find on the roads and streets in Florida and move them gently off the road to the sidewalk, so to safety, so they can revive when temperatures warm up again. Well, my mistake. Sorry, everybody. It turns out they're a terribly invasive species. They don't belong there. Green iguanas are an invasive species in Florida and pose significant environmental and economic risks to the state, officials say. So any iguanas that pass out should be captured and turned in. And what will happen is they get transferred if they're not, and then they're humanely killed by trained staff. So 5,000 were rounded up in 2 days. Now, I know that sounds cruel. But on the other hand, what about the rest of the wildlife? And if they're not supposed to be there, if you've got a pet iguana, definitely don't release it. Be smart about this. All right, so sorry about that and the correction. So then there was another story in the news. And because of this correction, I was careful enough to check on it. And what it was Sabrina Carpenter, in her big performance in the award ceremony, she used a dove in her act. And doves are basically pigeons. They're basically white pigeons, the ones they use. Okay, so PETA was not impressed with this and came out with a big statement about how cruel it is to expose doves to the lights and the noise and blah, blah, blah. And I was considering telling you that, but as I was reading it, I was thinking, well, what if this bird is exposed to all that and used to all that and trained for all that, like birds who thrive and live in shows and displays and enjoy their work? Even in rescue scenarios, there's often one or two animals that love the crowd and are used for demonstration. There's no reason that this bird might not be one of those or might not be used to all of it. And it was not released. So it got me to thinking about pigeons. Now, it's true that many pigeons, you know, when you have like a wedding and you release the doves and you think to yourself, well, it's okay because they're pigeons and they're going to return and they'll all be safe. Many don't return. There's a lot of predators. There's a lot of things that can happen to them. You can get hit by a car or eaten by a cat or whatever, right? Many don't return. So there is a risk, but many do return. So it's something to consider. Now, one thing I will say that's important with pigeons is that we created this domesticated pigeon situation, and we made them very reliant on us, and then we kind of left them alone. So if you live in an area with lots of pigeons and it's freezing cold and you have a heart for them, you could leave out birdseed, you could leave out water, because they're not that great at living on the wild. They seem to, but where they live is kind of right where humanity is, you know, like under our bridges and our highways, and they're kind of stuck to us. So here's some facts about pigeons, because I think this is so interesting. They're way smarter than you might think. They're considered in the top 10 in the animal kingdom as far as intelligence goes. They have tiny magnetic crystals in their beaks that act like a biological compass. So that's why they can find their way home no matter what. They also can hear sounds we can't hear, and they can hear and read polarized light patterns in the sky. That is like, no way we can do that. And that's completely invisible to our limited perception. Like, we just cannot, okay? We can't, but they see it. Scientists have found that pigeons can count, recognize themselves in mirrors, learn abstract concepts, and even understand probability. So, like, they do these experiments where it's more likely to get a treat over here than there, and, you know, and totally. And I would suggest hummingbirds can figure that out too. They're very smart too. And all the corvids. Anyway, okay. So they just want to point out that, like, the bird you shoo away from your sandwich or your potato chips or whatever is probably smarter than the average 5-year-old kid. It's kind of interesting. Now, why do we think so much smarts deserves compassion? I don't know, but we seem to. We seem to think that animals who are intelligent deserve more care than ones that are not, which is not necessarily how we feel about children. If a child is less able to function, we seem to give them more care. But with animals, it's the reverse. Anyway, so here's some of the things pigeons have that we don't. We see in 3 primary colors, but they get 4, including ultraviolet light. They can go for 60 miles an hour, sustained flight, like quite a while. So the distances they go are just crazy. And their words, they have words. They're not just squawking. Most birds do have words, but they have a lot of words. Different words for danger, territory, flirting, all that kind of stuff. So they've helped us in war. And in one case, there was one pigeon who got medals and stuff because she saved 194 soldiers by returning. Her name was Cher Ami, so I'm guessing they were French soldiers. And She, in time of war, one of her legs was shot off, but she still returned, and the other leg had the message. So that just gives me goosebumps. All right, everybody, we're going to go to break and talk about dogs and cats on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Stay tuned.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. We're back on Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And let's see. Dogs and cats. Well, okay. Here's a story. I like this one. I actually love this one. Let me get all my stats out for this one. Because sometimes I tell you about local news, not because I want you to pay attention to news in a part of the world that's far away from you, but because it can happen to you too, right? It can happen anywhere. And sometimes it's really important. You know, a dog hurts a person or a cat is injured or there's some flu or something somewhere that's coming to you soon. So that's why I give you the local news that I think is going to come to you soon. So in this case, I can't find my notes, so I'm going to have to do this from my brain, but that's all right. In this case, what happened was There's a beautiful park here, gorgeous park. It's enormous in Vancouver. And it's in an area that's kind of near the university and near a very swanky part of town, but it's an enormous forested area. It crosses, at one end, there's a nude beach on the west side of it that's on a peninsula and faces the water. Beautiful, beautiful beach with, you know, sun setting over the ocean. It's called Wreck Beach, W-R-E-C-K, Wreck Beach. Dogs are only allowed there in off-season, though, just so you know. Okay, so there's a beautiful beach there, and there's the students that live up there and all the campus housing. And then between the campus housing and the rest of the city, basically, there's a golf course, but otherwise, it's all just beautiful forests and trails. And for years and years and years, there's been networks of trails with good maps and good signage and lots of rules, like where you can ride your horse and where you can walk your dog and off leash or on leash. And you could spend a whole day in there easily. You could go from one side of the Georgia Strait to another. You could like go to one beach and then another beach, or you could just walk through the forest. You do have to cross highways or streets at certain points. So what's going on with this? Well, there was a lot of conflict. In particular, where off-leash trails meet trails that are strictly leash trails. That's where the conflicts were. And so the park board, GVRD, decided to limit, to take away a whole third of the park to dogs, to make a third of the off-leash walks no longer off-leash, and to put all these rules in place, extra rules. And it was about to happen. It was just going to go down without anybody, like nothing, just boom, done. All those people who use the park, and I'm telling you, when I'm in there on a rainy day, and I used to be there regularly when I lived in Vancouver, you don't see anybody else except the people with dogs. So, you know, yeah, in sunny summer days, there's people walking, but really, you hardly ever see people in the rainiest days without dogs. And it would be such a shame to regulate for the people who hardly go. But okay, okay. So the dog walking people, they made their voices heard so strongly that before they could even implement a single new sign or order anything new or get anything more restricted, boom, it's done, it's dead. Nope, not going to happen. The dog trails are staying open. The most wonderful place that you could think of to walk your dog is still the most wonderful place to walk your dog, and you can still walk off leash. And what they're going to do instead, which is the best thing ever, is enforce the actual rules. Instead of making more rules and then having the bad apples wreck it for everybody anyway, they're going to enforce the rules. So on the trails where you're supposed to never have a dog off leash, and these are the big horse trails, people are coming through there at a gallop, and they don't want your dog in their way, and they don't want to get injured, and they don't want their horse injured, and they don't want to hurt your dog, but it's a bad combination. So you got to obey the rules. But if all the dog people poop scoop and obey the rules and train their dogs and have dogs on leash if they don't come well, on leash if they're likely to chase a horse or cause a conflict, off leash if they're good, and when you're distracted, you need to take a phone call, you need to drink your coffee, your kid's acting up, one dog isn't behaving, put them on leash. It's so easy. Let them go again later. You're just showing them that you're in charge and they're earning their off-leash time. But that way we will have peace in the trails. So if you're somewhere that has a park like this, it's so important to obey the rules. Always poop scoop. Always keep your dog under control. Always adhere to the actual off-leash trails when your dog's off-leash, because we want these places to stay forever. Sometimes I drive by dog parks where there's like a fence and some kind of bark mulch area. Looks sort of like a basketball court area times two. And there's like two young adolescent dogs kind of prancing around, maybe vying for dominance. And that's it. Or maybe there's eight of those, but that's it. Because no old dog wants to go in there. No young dog wants to go in there. And look at Pickthorn. And no tiny dog wants to go in there. And a true athlete needs more room to run. I mean, these dog parks, and then no water feature. This is no, you can't throw a ball without everybody trying to get it, and then there's a fight, you know? So I like dog parks for certain dogs. There's Labs and Goldens and Doodles that just love the dog park. The dogs who love all dogs all the time and are in their prime love those little contained dog parks. But the rest of them would, well, oh, so much prefer a run in the forest. And that's what I'm going to do with mine today, because it's a rare moment in the rainforest. In February, the sun is shining and it is absolutely spectacular here. So I'm going to take my four dogs and we're going to find a forest trail where there's nobody. And we're going to go look for chanterelle mushrooms. That's what we're going to do this afternoon. But before I go, I guess I should solve the riddle. So how did I end up on stage with Bad Bunny during the Super Bowl? Well, it's a little bit of a trick. I was performing at the Church of the Blues, the old Dini pub, on Sunday, and it was Super Bowl, and they do have television screens. So there was a television screen on the corner of the stage playing the Super Bowl, and I noticed as I was singing Sweet Home Chicago, I glanced over and I realized, you know what? I'm on stage with Bad Bunny. That's who's on the television right now. All right, everybody. From me, Deb Wolf, and Animal Party and Pet Life Radio, ciao, meow. Be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.